And welcome to this brand new program. I'm the Mighty Mellow DJ Fred, host of Radio Thrift Shop and coordinator of Free Radio Skybird. And this is Gentle on My Mind, an easy listening experience. The Alan Lorber Orchestra with Tim Hardin's Hang On to a Dream. Well, this is the Mighty Mellow DJ Fred. You're hanging on to a gentle dream on Gentle on My Mind. Tune in, turn on to the Mighty Mellow.
Dollar in my hand and an aching in my heart and my pockets full of sand. I'm a long way from home and I miss my loved ones so. Tasted good, and those women, they were fast. Well, now there she goes, my friend. She's a rolling out at last. Hear the mighty engines that roar. See the silver wing on high. no earthly good to me. 'Cause I'm stuck here on the ground, cold and tired as I can be. You can jump a jet plane.
Early morning.
Tony Evans with a tune called Gypsy Cream, and before that, Tony Osborne and John N. Paul. From the CD, Gypsy Creams and Ginger Nuts, Sounds That Swept the Supermarkets. And we started that set off with The Settlers and Early Morning Rain.
Exploring Science in the Sea. For more than 3 months, giant kelp off the coast of California bobbed up and down like a pump jack in an oil field. The goal of that motion was to replace a few pump jacks by developing a replacement for some of the country's oil. Corn and other crops are already used to produce biofuel, but they require land, fertilizer, pesticide, and fresh water. So researchers are looking at ways to produce biofuels using organisms grown in the oceans, including kelp. Although the kelp would release carbon dioxide when it was burned as fuel, newly grown kelp would take up carbon dioxide, so the process would basically be carbon neutral. Kelp is found in shallow waters all over the world, but harvesting natural kelp would disturb fish and other organisms that use the kelp for food or protection. So scientists are looking at ways to grow it away from the coast in the open ocean. And that's where the bobbing comes in. Researchers built a gridwork of pipes for the giant kelp to attach to. They then placed the platform off Catalina Island near Los Angeles. During the day, the platform stayed near the surface, providing plenty of sunlight. At night, it dropped to a depth of about 250 feet, immersing the kelp in nutrient-rich waters. The kelp grew by up to 2 or 3 feet per day, much faster than patches that were grown in a more natural kelp environment close to shore. More tests are being planned. If they work out, they could lead to full-scale kelp farming and a new source of energy. Science in the Sea is available as a weekly podcast at scienceandthesea.org. I'm Holly Brawley.
Relax. Breathe. Chill. Unplug. It's gentle on my mind, an easy listening experience.
I need a charmed life, as you see. Must be a charmed life, you're with me. I never dreamed in all of my palmiest days. With you skies, I view skies as blue skies wherever I gaze. A child of fortune, heaven knows. The milk and nice to know that there are two happy as we, and that you can lead a charmed life with me.
Thank you.
From the soundtrack of Slippery When Wet, that's Bud Shank and Mook's theme. Before that, the Three Sons from their album Movin' and Groovin', we heard the Vagabond King Waltz, and we started off with Russ Garcia, his choir and orchestra, I Lead a Charmed Life. Well, this is the Mighty Mellow DJ Fred. You're listening to Gentle on My Mind, an easy listening experience. For your charmed life.
This is Bird Note. Imagine you're about to shake hands, but with a sulfur-crested cockatoo. Should you offer your right hand or your left? You should hold out your left hand. That's because most sulfur-crested cockatoos are left-footed. In complex tasks like manipulating a piece of fruit, these intelligent birds work intently with their feet. A parrot's eyes are located on the sides of its head. So if it wants to look at something, say a delicious piece of fruit, it has got to cock its head one way or the other to do it. And if it looks with its left eye, then it uses its left foot. Scientists call this handedness. That's when one hand, or foot, is used consistently over the other for doing more complex tasks. In a study of 16 Australian parrot species, scientists found that about half were lefties, a third were righties, and a few were neither. Handedness, once thought unique to humans, is also seen in chimps and gorillas, mostly righties, and orangutans, mostly lefties, as well as cats and kangaroos. The evolution of handedness, for righties and lefties alike, improves skill and efficiency in complex tasks for both parrots and for humans. For BirdNote, I'm Michael Stein.
This show is made possible by Jim and Berta Falconer of Seattle, Heidi Olsch, and the Horizons Foundation.
Welcome back to Gentle on My Mind, an easy listening experience. I'm the Mighty Mellow DJ Fred, and it's time for the Mancini Moment.
Thank you.
two tracks from the soundtrack of Mr. Lucky Goes Latin. We heard the title track and Lujon. And now on Gentle on My Mind, it's time for the Conniff Connection.
Would you like to ride in my beautiful balloon? Would you like to glide in my beautiful balloon?
We could float among the stars together, you and I.
For we can fly.
Ray Conniff with Up, Up and Away here on Gentle on My Mind, an easy listening experience. Well, on occasion here on Gentle on My Mind, we check in with Laura Erickson and For the Birds.
Sometime in the late 80s or 90s, I noticed that the term Super Bowl could be given an entirely different meaning simply by shifting the letter B to the left, making it Superb Owl. Ever since then, I've tried to make it an annual tradition on that Sunday to see a superb owl or two. This year, Russ and I headed to the Sac Zim Bog at mid-morning on Sunday. We spent most of our time visiting the feeding station on Admiral Road, a hot spot marked on the bog map available at the Welcome Center. All week, a boreal owl had been coming to the feeders, not to eat peanut butter or suet, of course, but in hopes of snapping up one or two songbirds or little rodents. Birders share their sightings, and boreal owls are the hardest of all our northern owls to see. So on Saturday night, someone counted 49 cars parked along Admiral Road when the owl showed up about 4 p.m. All week it had been showing up for at least an hour or so in the afternoon, and so Russ and I, of course, had high hopes. Unfortunately, the biting wind that so chilled us apparently kept the owl in a sheltered spot away from the feeders. In between visits to the feeding station, we headed to the little wintergreen bog spot where a barred owl was supposed to be. That turned out to be one heck of a superb owl. When we got there, it was perched in the open above the wintergreen bog sign and feeders, scrutinizing all the feeder birds. barred owls eat anything they can catch, so you'd think songbirds would be wary of one sitting right above the feeders. But those little songbirds are quicker and more maneuverable and were as aware of the owl as it was of them. Had it opened its wings, they'd have vanished. What the owl really wanted was a slow-witted squirrel or a mouse or vole to turn up, but none did while we watched. We drove to several other spots, carefully checking out where others had seen hawk owls and a snowy owl, but we didn't have any luck on that front. At about 2:45, we went back to Admiral Road to make one last try for the boreal owl. Our plan was to stay there till 3 and then go get some food, but then we decided to wait till 3:15, then 3:30, then... Well, why not? We'd give it till 4 p.m. After all, that's when it had showed up the day before. We hadn't had any lunch and were very hungry, but hopefulness overpowered hunger, at least for a while. While we were standing there in the bitter wind, Russ and I both started thinking about the movie Airplane. It begins with Robert Hayes' character, a cab driver named Ted Stryker, arriving at the airport. Before he can jump out of his car, a customer climbs in. Stryker tells him he'll be right back and starts the meter. Then the movie unfolds with Stryker getting on the plane, the crew and most passengers getting sick, and Julie Haggerty's character, Otto the autopilot, and Stryker ultimately safely landing the plane. As he and Julie Haggerty embrace in the sunset, the credits roll. When they're finally over, we return to the cab where the man is still waiting. He looks at his watch and says, "Well, I'll give him another 20 minutes, but that's it." Russ and I were not quite as tenacious as that guy. We finally gave up at 4:05 and headed to the Wilbert Cafe. While we were eating, another birder arrived at the cafe after waiting for the owl until dark. I felt bad that he missed it too, but glad that we hadn't given the bird another 20 minutes. Like that guy in the cab, we might still be there. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds. We'll be right back.
Something a little bit different here on Gentle on My Mind. That's Gilroy Mir from a brand new FlexiDisc EP called Over the Tracks, released on Clay Pipe Music. And Gilroy Mir records with a number of different personas. He also is known as Dollboy, Rhododendron, Australian Testing Labs, and his real name, Oliver Cheerer. Some beautiful music there, new on Clay Pipe, new flexi disc called Over the Tracks. Now, if you'd like to follow the news or updates from Gentle on My Mind, an easy listening experience, just check us out on Facebook. There's a new group called Gentle on My Mind.
So take some time.
The Cleaners from Venus and Corridor of Dreams. And that's this edition of Gentle on My Mind, an easy listening experience. Thank you for joining us on this audio journey. Until next time, remember, be gentle with yourself, be gentle of spirit, be gentle on your mind. Wishing you many blessings.